This is the Dealer News Today podcast, the podcast for automotive executives and the professionals who support them.
Hey, hi, and welcome, 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 everybody, to another episode of Dealer News Today. And as always, coming to you from the DNT headquarters, I am your host, Derek D, DerekD.com, of course, and thank you, and I appreciate you being here. Now, we got a great show for you today and a great guest. He just so happens to be the president and founder of the Dave Canton Group. Ladies and gentlemen, none other than my buddy, Dave Canton. What's up, Dave?
Derek D, good morning, brother. How are you today?
I'm good. And how are you? Are you in Jersey or LA right now?
I am in Jersey today after this incredible storm that we had last evening. And oh, it's sunny right. And beautiful out as we speak. But wow, what an evening last night.
Yeah, that's right. Hurricane Ida. You know, we didn't get it too bad here where I am, but a lot of people up north and in the city got slammed. But anyway, glad to hear you're all right. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing great. Thank you so much. I hope you and your family are all doing well. Great to hear your voice. It's great to be back on the Dealer News Today podcast.
Well, it's great to have you on, DNT. Dave Canton on the mic, everyone. So let's jump right in and talk about some hot industry topics, if you will, in the automotive industry. First off, what's going on with inventory? Like, what's the deal?
What's going on with inventory? Wow. Yeah. Something that is probably the hottest topic in the industry as we speak, especially as I speak to all my clients out there. And even when you drive past these dealerships and you're used to seeing, you know, all this dealership inventory out on the highways, and today you're not. You know, obviously we all know what they're experiencing with the new cars, the chip shortage, you know, which is really creating a new way of buying a car. And we'll get into that throughout the podcast from what I'm hearing and seeing in the industry. But, you know, dealers aren't going to be able to stock months and months of supply like they're used to, which is going to change the entire car buying experience. And now we see how that has drastically affected the pre-owned inventory. You know, Derek, what I'm seeing is some of these 1 or 2 year old vehicles are almost worth more today than what they were when they were new. That's how crazy this has created this frenzy of this used car industry.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm debating whether to sell my car. I could probably get more than what it's worth. I keep it in pristine shape. But you mentioned, you know, we're talking about inventory and how, you know, going forward, it's not the same. Is that going to change again? Well, do you think in the future dealerships will have, you know, months and months and months of cars on the lot, or is this the way it's going to be going forward in perpetuity, you think?
You know, Derek, that's a great question. You know, Ford is running a commercial right now, which I'm sure everyone has seen on TV, and it's come on in and build your new car, right? And I think that's a telltale sign of what is to come in the future. You know, people are used to, right? The consumer habit is used to saying, okay, my lease is coming due, or it's time for a new vehicle. Let me go drive into a few car dealerships and walk the lots and test drive some cars and see what they have available. I think if you ask me what my opinion is of what the automotive future is, okay, especially for consumer habits, is you're going to drive into a car dealership. You're going to see a few models on the showroom floor. You're still going to have some sort of new car inventory. Maybe instead of a 90-day supply, it'll be a 30-day supply. But more consumers are going to start building their vehicles and taking delivery of those vehicles down the road. You know, you're going to go in and you're going to sit down with someone almost like walking into an Apple store. Okay. And you're going to sit down and you're going to build your next car. And you're going to take delivery of it upon when it comes in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and build it to the spec of exactly how you want it. That's what I see is coming right around the corner in the automotive industry.
But do you think, I like that. I like building my own car, but do you think people can do that online and then go to the dealership to pick it up? You think people will be doing it more online or going there to do it?
Well, I think it'll be a combination of both. I think some people still like the idea of having some representation at the dealership, making sure that they know they're building it right. I mean, you're talking about building a $20,000 to $80,000 machine, if not more. You want to make sure you're doing it right, right? So some people that have done their homework or maybe are more technically savvy will build it from home and then just submit whatever they're going to submit, like buying. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. You could sit here and buy a Tesla online and schedule delivery, right? So, yeah. I mean, I think the concept of that will be the same. And I really do believe that the industry and the consumer habits have changed over the last 10 months, and that will continue to evolve as we move forward, especially with EV coming, right? I mean, every manufacturer is gearing up for EV. Every commercial you see on TV today with every car manufacturer is telling you that they're getting ready to really bring out their new EV models and introduce their new EV models to the industry. So we're going to see a combination of, you know, a lot of manufacturers introducing their EV vehicle lineup, right? Which is, I think, is going to dominate the industry. And I think it's much sooner than anyone expected that dealerships will be selling more EVs than they will gasoline cars.
Yeah, I wonder like when that's going to happen. I mean, you know, like Ford and other manufacturers are saying, oh, by, you know, 2035, we're going to be fully electric. And I've talked about this on the show before. I like engines. I like the sound of engines. Now, it's one thing, you know, supercars, a lot of them, they're hybrid, which is great. But, you know, I think electric vehicles are amazing. Obviously, they're quick torque off the line, very fast. But I still want to hear, like, I don't think manufacturers should go full EV. I think you should have both. Because there's people that are going to want engines, naturally aspirated, turbo, whatever, engines. I know I will.
Hey, Derek, if anyone knows, it's you, right? Especially with your history of Fastlane Daily, really understanding, you know, automobiles. But, you know, as someone who's been an automobile enthusiast their entire life, I agree with you. I mean, I still like getting behind my car, stepping on the gas pedal and hearing the motor roar. It's kind of weird when you get into that vehicle and you step on it and you hear nothing, right? So it's a change. Some people enjoy it. Some people don't. Look, there's a ton of benefits of getting behind that EV vehicle and really the longevity and everything else that this EV is going to benefit the automotive industry. You know, and then you really have to say to yourself, how does this change the operations of a car dealership, right? You know, from electric charging stations to making sure that you have the proper electricity grids within your car dealerships to properly charge vehicles as they come in for sales and service. You know, dealers today aren't prepared for that. You know, these are all new concepts that will need to be created at each and every car dealership.
Yeah, kind of a whole new infrastructure.
You know, this will change the entire landscape of the automotive industry. You know, dealers, when they purchase a property to build their car dealership on, one of the top priorities for a dealer is to have enough room for their obvious, the showroom for the service facility, but also to have enough room to store cars. And, you know, the mindset for the dealer has always been, I want the biggest, largest property possible on the greatest highway frontage possible. And I want to store 3 to 4 months of vehicles. So when people drive by, they see that we have a huge amount of inventory. So consumers could drive in there and walk hundreds, if not thousands of vehicles and leave that day with their new shiny car. That landscape, that dynamic of buying a car is going to change. Dealers in the future will not need to have these 10 plus acre lots to facilitate their new car brands. Because, you know, the difference between stocking a 30-day supply versus a 90 or 120-day supply is a drastic difference. And you're talking maybe you could cut your acreage down in half, right? Maybe the landscape of what to see in the future is going to drastically change. You know, one of the other things that's changing today that we all see this, and this is creating historical dealer profits in every car dealer, in every car dealership, is the consumer habit of not shopping so much anymore, right? With supply and demand, right? Low supply, the demand is high right now because people weren't trading in their leases throughout COVID. People really weren't taking advantage of getting a new car, even if their finance on their car was paid off. And especially due to these low interest rates that we've been experiencing, Derek, and everyone refinancing their homes and finding that they now have anywhere from $200 to $1,000 in excess per month that they never had before and no bill to really put that towards. So now they find themselves with a new car, or if not, maybe two new cars in their driveway. And you know what? Mm. It's the same bill that they've been paying every month. So you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people across America that took advantage of these low rates, refinanced their homes, have excess money, and now we're going out to buy cars. But one thing that they're doing differently today than they did a year ago or maybe a little longer is they're not shopping as much, right? They're paying these higher prices. There's less negotiation. So the consumer habit moving forward might be, hey, you walk in, you see that car, that's the price, right? That's the price. You want that model, you want it built that way, that's the price. And it really minimizes the time spent within a car dealership. It maximizes the customer satisfaction in a way where, hey, you know, this is the product you want to purchase, this is the price. There's really no more back and forth. And it sustains and maintains dealer profitability, right? Which is key right now and critical for these dealerships to cover the costs of these large operations that they have, not even having as much inventory as they're used to having.
Right. And to piggyback on what you're saying, I mean, you know, people refinance their home so they had extra money, but also, you know, you're a family of five, you got, you know, three kids, you stimulus payments, you got that money coming in. You weren't going out to restaurants, you weren't going on vacations, you weren't spending money there. So people are like, you know, and we're not taking public transportation. So you know what? Let's go buy a car. Let's trade in our car. Let's get a new car. We have the extra money. So that, I mean, that's one of the big reasons I think that the car industry just went boom during the pandemic. And there's, you know, there's so many people who I explain them, oh, you know, automotive companies are doing fantastic during the pandemic. And they're like, how, why? And I explained it to them like, well, that does make sense. And then usually they're like, oh yeah, my dad got a new car, or my brother bought a new car or something. So you're right. There was a lot of extra money, you know, especially with the stimulus payments and things like that, that people could pump into the auto industry. And it happened.
It really did happen. Now it's really what's going to happen over the next 5 or 6 years as we see EV evolving even more into the industry. Are these people that are buying all these cars now going to be trading them in for more EVs? Because many manufacturers are now introducing their EV lineups, right? So we're really going to see that coming out. And it's going to be a pretty cool experience to see now all these cars being replaced over and over again. And, you know, it's something that obviously keeps the industry moving, right? And keeps the industry ticking as good as it possibly can.
Absolutely. I mean, the industry is doing great and the numbers speak to that. But what do you think are some of the most significant things that have changed in the automotive industry since COVID? And then moving forward, what will like straight up be different because of what the pandemic did?
You know, I think one of the greatest things that we're seeing, especially from our mergers and acquisitions firm, Derek, is, you know, the difference of consolidation. You know, so many dealers today are considering a little earlier than maybe they originally planned exiting the industry, enjoying retirement. You know, there could have been a lot of things that created that decision for them. You know, one of them could be obviously COVID, right? Having to shut down and restart. I spoke about this, you know, I believe last March, as soon as COVID hit. You know, the automotive industry is just built upon the most resilient entrepreneurs in the entire world. And that's just my philosophy. I believe that, you know, you're talking about a group of entrepreneurs that had to completely 100% shut their businesses down. Okay. And you're not talking about 5 or 10 employees. Some of these dealerships hold 200-300 people within these dealerships, right? Yeah. So you're basically telling 200-300 people times however many stores you have, we're closing the doors, you're figuring it out. How are you going to compensate people? How do you keep people, maintaining, being able to pay their bills? Even these large facilities, how do you maintain paying these bills? And they just were able to ramp right back up, get their employees back in, figure this out, put all the safety precautions in place that are needed to protect their staff and customers, which is huge and which was huge, even great at a greater level back last March and April, keeping everyone safe, right? But they were able to immediately figure out how to ramp their businesses back up. A lot of people felt, oh my gosh, I don't think I ever want to go through that again. So I was considering retirement in 2030, but maybe now is the right time. You know, it's kind of the perfect storm, okay, for between buyers and sellers. And the reason why consolidation right now is at a height. And that's because the cost of an acquisition today is probably the cheapest it's ever been since I've been doing this. Okay. You know, the interest rates are super low. You know, it's easy to go out there and acquire capital and acquire the funds to be able to buy a business, especially in the automotive industry today. So you have a buyer that has the ability and the wherewithal to be able to take their combination of historical profits of the stores that they currently own. So they have a good amount of liquidity today. And you combine that, right, with everything that's going on today, you know, historic profits, these sellers are walking away with these walkaway numbers, okay, and taking advantage of having 2020 and 21, which have been two incredible profit years in the industry, and they're walking away with a lot more money than they've ever dreamt of doing. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing today a lot of M&A activity, you know, this year. You know, I'll give you an example. DCG set a goal January 1st, and our goal this year was to do 20 closed acquisitions. Okay. I mean, we're most likely going to double that number. And that is basically just because so many dealers that were operating without the ability or even considering the ability to sell have said, you know what? It's the perfect storm. I'm going to walk away with probably more than I've ever thought about walking away. I wanted to retire in 3 to 5 years. You know, let's do it now. Let's figure it out now, right? Succession planning today has become something that's really taken up a huge part of our day, just working with dealers across the industry, figuring that out, you know, putting that plan in place, which is critical and key. You know, gosh, go back a few years ago, you get 10 dealers in a room and ask them, hey, raise your hand if you have a succession plan. You're lucky if 3 out of 10 raise their hand and say, I have a succession plan. You know, the other 7 are just going to go with it day by day, which is one of the most, you know, it's tragic things happen every day. And it's the last thing you want to do is put your business at jeopardy and the hundreds, if not thousands of people that you employ. So it's always great to have a succession plan. So, you know, I really think the M&A activity, the consolidation in the industry today is something that we've experienced over these first 8 months of the year. And it's going to get just as busy, I believe, over the next 4 months to close out this year. And I think this will continue right into 2022.
Yeah, you kind of answered my question. I was going to say, how are dealer acquisitions going? Are they better or worse now? But clearly, they are better.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, you see big companies out there that are just gobbling up as much as they possibly can. You know, dealers that own 1 or 2 stores in a non-metro, even metro market, for that concern. It's hard to compete. It's hard to compete in this industry today when you're surrounded by a group that might own 10 stores and you own 1 or 2 stores. It's not that the group that owns 10 stores could sell the car for any, you know, or buys the car for any less than you do. It's just that, you know, their ability to sell the car for a little less and still probably make a little bit more is real, right? Because their cost of doing business when you have 10 stores creating and sharing synergies surrounding each other is much greater than having that 1 store or 2 stores that really can't share as many synergies and doesn't have as many resources as that larger group that they're competing with.
Right. Yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense. Do you see it staying this way? Or it's only really because of the pandemic and things like that? Will that die down a little bit? Like you said, you projected, you know, 20 acquisitions, you're going to double that this year. Is that going to keep going like that? Or do you see that tapering off a little bit?
Well, I think eventually it's going to taper off. But I do think that we're going to see over the next course of the next 12 to 24 months from today, I think we're going to see it maintain a level of consistency. You know, I think, you know, tax law, as you know, is going to change somewhat. I think the dealers are going to shake that out. They're going to see how that works for them or against them, obviously mostly against them. Okay. And they're still going to consider, okay, is this the time to exit? Is this the time to grow our portfolio and platform? And I think dealers are really understanding more than ever today, okay, the infrastructure and the stability of maximizing their automotive platform. You know, this has been an industry that has always been an incredible return on investment. It's always been an industry that dealers have thrived from, that have really took advantage of understanding how to dominate their markets, right? Maximize their market share. So dealers more than ever now as well are willing to spread their wings. And if they're a Northeast-based dealer, go to the Midwest, Mid-South, even Western regions. So you're now starting to see more than ever dealers take advantage of entering into new markets and creating a new platform within that market, which is something that we rarely ever saw before from non-public companies, from privately held companies. And we're starting to see a lot more of that today.
I mean, it's a crazy time. I mean, and it's a good time to be in the automotive industry. And the one thing, though, we mentioned it earlier, I wanted you to touch on, was the chip shortage. Now, is this something, and I've asked other people on the show in the past this, is this something that will be affecting the automotive industry for years, or do you see this kind of ending sooner than later?
Yeah, Derek, look, I think that's on everyone's mind right now. But if we're listening to what the manufacturers are telling us, I think they're getting a hold of it, right? I think it's something that they realize was an issue, is an issue, and it's quickly trying to get corrected. You know, these manufacturers heavily rely on selling their vehicles once they're built. Having a vehicle built and not being able to ship and sell it is just as big of a problem for the manufacturer it is for the car dealer, right?
Because the chip's not in it.
So, you know, I think everyone has learned a lesson here. The manufacturers are wise enough and smart enough to know that we can't have this issue happen again. I think they're going to quickly find their way out of it. But they're also going to, as I said before, evolve into different types of ways to create this problem from not happening again. And maybe that's not supplying 90 or 120 days of inventory to car dealers anymore, and more of a come on in and build your vehicle approach. And that will slow the demand down a little bit. If a consumer knows, hey, I bought my car, it's on order, but I'm not getting it for 60 days. You know, that's one thing. It's one thing to tell a customer, we can't even build you a car. You know, we don't even have the ability to. There's no allocation. There's no way to even do it. That's the problem that we experienced a short while ago, where customers were going into car dealers and there was, you know, four cars to choose from or 28 cars to choose from. And there was really nothing else you could do. You know, it's kind of come back in a few weeks. I mean, how hard is it? That's probably one of the hardest things you could tell a customer who's ready and able to buy a new car. Well, we can't sell you one. You don't ever want to be in that position.
No, definitely not. I mean, especially when you're a motivated buyer and you're excited to buy a new car and you know the exact car you want in your head and then you can't get it when you want it, or you have to, you know, wait a really long time, or just, hey, you got to settle for something we have on the lot. And it's discouraging. It's a bad feeling. You know, when you're making a big purchase like that, you want what you want. I mean, I want to get the new C8 Corvette at some point, but right now you can't get it. They simply don't have them.
They don't have them. And that's not the worst problem, because it retains its value by not having the ability to ship and sell so many of them. But, you know, it's like anything else, Derek. If you are ready and you have the means to buy something, you want it like yesterday, right? And that's that's what a lot of people are experiencing today in the industry. You know, they have the means to go out there and buy cars, and they just can't go home with one, right? So I think that's going to quickly resolve itself. I think the industry is going to quickly get back to some normalcy, okay, with inventory. But I do believe, as I told you before on the call, we're going to see a change of the way that the industry retails cars. We're already seeing a drastic change in the consumer habits of how they're buying cars. And I think it's going to be beneficial for all parties involved.
Yeah, I think so. I was talking to a buddy of mine who wanted the new C8 Corvette, not to keep talking about that, but ordering online, just it wasn't available, and he could have got a used one, but it wasn't to the exact spec that he wanted, you know, which we just talked about before. And, you know, you want that when you buy a car. Plus, the used ones people are selling, they're selling for like way over MSRP because the demand is there. It's a beautiful car.
Hey, it's how bad do you want that car? And if you want it bad enough, you're going to figure it out and find a way to buy it. And the price is less of the issue, right?
Boom. There it is. And you're exactly right. I mean, you know, it's no big deal, though. Once my sitcom gets picked up, I'll go get my new Corvette.
Talk to us. How's the sitcom happening? Huh? You sent me a little bit of that, a teaser. Incredible. Absolutely love it. What's to come of that, Derek?
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate that. Well, you know, basically we're pitching it to, you know, anyone who wants to read it and find out what it's all about. It's called Cop and Stales, which that is a story in and of itself. But obviously we're aiming for the streaming networks of the world, because there's a lot of that around, as we all know, and they all need content. You know, we've gotten some big names in the industry to take a look at it. And they're like, wow, we love the chemistry between, like, referring to me and my writing partner, Alan Kaufman, who was a producer on Fastlane Daily as well, and a great writer too. But, you know, we show it to industry folks and they like it. They think it's funny. And then it's like, yeah, and would you like to do something with it now? But, you know, we keep plugging heavily out there because we believe in the show. It's funny. It's based in truth, which always makes for a better comedy show, you know, based around the show I hosted for almost a decade called Fastlane Daily, like I mentioned. But there is a car element in the show, and we're going to pitch it till our arms fall off. I mean, hey, the show Stranger Things was turned down something like 15 times before Netflix got it and gave it the green light. So we all know how successful that was. So yeah, if any big producers are listening out there, give me a call. I'll send you the show Bible and we'll go from there.
That's great. Well, we can't wait to watch you back on the big screen. That's going to be absolutely amazing. And look, thank you so much for always having me on the show. It's great to be back on Dealer News Today. This show is incredible for dealers and, you know, provides the insight that dealers look for. And it's always great to be back on the show. I think, again, everyone's going to see as the weeks and months go on, we're going to see that the industry is evolving, but it's evolving in a different way, right? And I think it's going to create a more sustained future for the automotive industry. And I think there's a lot to come. You know, there's still uncertainty like anything else, but I think, you know, throughout that uncertainty, we're going to all figure it out. You know, as I said a few minutes ago, you got some of the most resilient entrepreneurs on one side and some of the smartest people in the world on the other side, that, you know, you put everyone together and it's going to be, this industry always figures itself out, right? It's one of the greatest industries in the entire world, the automotive industry, filled with some of the most incredible, influential people. And it's always going to figure itself out.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. You said it's changing moving forward. It's going to be different. That doesn't mean bad. That means probably better. You know, it's just changing for the better. And I think, you know, I've said it before on the show, it's a positive taken out of a negative, meaning the COVID and the pandemic. It's a new way of doing things, and it's moving in a better direction, I think.
Completely agree, Derek. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Dave Canton, appreciate you coming on the show, man. Dealer News Today. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And you're heading back to L.A. when? Tomorrow?
I will be back in L.A. In about 2 days, and then traveling down to Atlanta for a big acquisition, and just always on the go. Look, every week traveling somewhere else. Right now I find myself up in the air more than I do on the ground.
Wow.
You know, I'm up in the plane like 500,000 miles a year. But jeez, right now is the time, right? We're visiting a lot of clients. We're, you know, I'm showing my face in a lot of these M&A transactions, which is important for the company. And, DCG Acquisitions, which is our M&A arm of Dave Canton Group, is really establishing itself in incredible ways and breaking ground in new ways. And just like anything else, as we're speaking about evolution and moving forward, so is our company, right? There's so many things that we have in the works right now, so many different areas of that we're getting involved in, and so many levels of expertise within the company. So it's great. We're all busy. Everyone's busy. And we're just going to keep moving forward and keep finding new ways to take care of our customers. And we're thankful, and we're just humbled upon all this incredible success throughout this year.
Yeah, well, happy to hear it. And I wish you all the continued success as well through the rest of the year and moving forward with the acquisitions and all that stuff that I don't really understand. But have safe travels to everywhere you're going. But, Dave, always a pleasure to have you on Dealer News Today.
Derek, thank you so much. Have a great day today, and I look forward to speaking with you and being back on the show soon.
Yep, absolutely. I hope to see you in person as well soon. I don't know, we'll grab a beer or something. But good to talk to you, dude.
You too, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Canton, the CEO and founder of the Dave Canton Group. Head over to www.davecantongroup.com for more info. Also, make sure you follow the show on Instagram. It's at Dealer News Today. You know, leave a comment and some likes while you're there. We'll have some fun. All right. I'm Derek D. Head to DerekD.com for all my stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody. And until next time, this is Dealer News Today. Later, folks.